Hallelujah. This is session number 6 of the Gospel according to John. This is exciting. I've been enjoying this, and I know it's going to get a lot better. I'm really excited. Last time we got up through verse 11, and we touched on verse 12. We're talking about the eternal Word of God. We're talking about the life that's inside the Word, which is the true light. And John the Baptist, who was sent to bear witness of this light, but he wasn't that light. And then how that light entered into the world. And he's lit every man that comes into the world. And he was in the world, and the world was made by him, and the world knew him not. And he came unto his own, and his own received him not. But praise God, in verse number 12, and this is where we're going to pick it up today. But as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name, which were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. So verse 12 and 13 looks at those who do receive him. Amen. Jesus Christ, he told the truth in Matthew chapter 7. He said, enter ye in at the straight gate, for wide is the gate, and broad is the way that leadeth to destruction, and many there be which go in thereat. He said, but straight is the gate, and narrow is the way which leadeth unto life, and few there be that find it. That's Matthew 7, verse 13 and 14. In the Gospel of Luke, he told some people, he said, strive to enter in at the straight gate, for many shall seek to enter in and shall not be able. Strive to enter in at the straight gate, few find it. He's in the world and the world doesn't know him. He came unto his own and his own, they rejected him. They didn't want him. They literally said, we will not have this man to be our king. We will not have this man to reign over us. They said, we have no king but Caesar. What blasphemy, by the way, that the Roman emperor of the Roman Empire, that they didn't even like, that they hated being under, but they would still choose him over Jesus the Christ. That's messed up. But that's what will happen if you won't receive him. Jesus warned about the fact that he didn't come in his own name. He came in his Father's name. And he said, you won't receive me. He said, but if one comes in his own name, him you will receive. And prophetically, in the fullness of that prophecy, he's talking about the Antichrist himself, the beast himself of Revelation chapter 13, who will come in his own name, and they will receive him. But praise the Lord, in John chapter 1, verse 12, but as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God. Praise the Lord, there are some who do receive him. There are some that do receive him. Now, I want to clarify something quickly, because this is a common misconception. Many people talk about accepting Jesus as your personal Savior so you can go to heaven. And they'll even use this scripture as a reference. Or perhaps even Revelation chapter 3, verse 20, where he says, behold, I stand at the door and knock, right? If any man open to me. But I just want to clarify quickly. This verse doesn't say, as many as accepted him as their personal Savior, to them he granted the right to enter heaven. It's not what it says, and there's a difference. This is not about accepting one part of Jesus, like I'll accept the Savior part of Jesus for me, or I'll accept the Redeemer part of Jesus for me. You don't accept part of Jesus to get something out of him. That's not what this is saying. It's talking about receiving him. It doesn't say anything about as a personal Savior. It's just talking about receiving him. And in the context of this passage, the him is the Word of God, the one that was in the beginning, the creator of heaven and earth and all things therein. The him is the true light that shines in the darkness, the true light that lights every man that comes into the world. And as we keep going, the him is the Word that's going to be made flesh and dwell among us and is full of the glory of God. I mean, full of grace and truth and that glory. And the him is not the Moses who brought the law, but it's going to be Jesus Christ who brings grace and truth. And And the Him is going to be the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world. And the Him is going to be the Messiah, the Christ, the King of Israel, the one that they were waiting for to come. The Him is going to be the Son of Man. That's going to, on the Son of Man, there's going to be angels of God ascending and descending from between heaven and earth. And as you go through the rest of the book, the Him is the light of the world and the bread of life and the good shepherd and the door and the resurrection and the life and the true vine. See, it's not just receiving Him as one special part just for you. It's not accepting Him as a personal Savior. No, it's receiving Him and everything that He is. It's not getting a Savior now and then I'll find a Lord later. It's receiving Him. And the key issue here throughout the Gospel of John is coming to believe Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God, and that through believing in Jesus, the Christ, the Son of the living God, He gives us power to become the sons of God. That's the amazing thing. This is the amazing hope. As many as received Him, to them gave He power. Power. What kind of power? What did Jesus Christ say in Matthew 28, verse 18, after He rose from the dead? He told His apostles, He said, all power is given to me in heaven and earth. He's got all power in heaven and earth. What kind of power? Romans chapter 1, 16 says that I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. Amen. The power, Acts chapter 1, verse 8, Jesus Christ said, abide in Jerusalem, but ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses unto me. Power. Talking about real power. See, this is the neat thing. This power is not something we have in and of ourselves. This power is not something that we can conjure up of ourselves. We're going to see this in a second. This power is of Him, but we have to remember Jesus Christ has all power in heaven and earth, and that that gospel of Christ is the power of God unto salvation, and that He promised to give us the Holy Ghost, who will give us the power to be everything that we need to be for His glory and for His honor. And in Romans chapter 5, verse 6, the scripture says, for when we were yet without strength, in due time, Christ died for the ungodly. I like that. When we were without strength, you know what we were without? We were without power. You know what humanity was without? Was without the power to save himself. He was without the power to please God. He was without the power to rid himself of his sins. He was without the power to purify his heart. He didn't have that power. We were without strength. And praise the Lord, when we were without that strength, Christ died for the ungodly. Because in 1 Corinthians chapter 1, you know what Paul says? Paul says in 1 Corinthians chapter 1 that the preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolishness, but unto us which are saved, it is the power of God. Amen. But to as many received Him, to them gave He power. The same power that was manifested when He died on that cross for our sins and He released His Spirit back to the Father and said, Father, into Thy hands I commend my spirit. And He gave up the ghost and the earth ripped in half and the veil of the temple ripped in half. And the Roman centurion shook there in fear and trembling and said, truly, this man was the Son of God because he had never seen such power. And that power was just the power of His death. The scripture says that He was crucified through weakness. In 2 Corinthians chapter 13, it says, but He liveth by the power of God. There's an even greater power than the cross. There's an even greater power than His death. And it was the power of His resurrection. And Hebrews talks about how Jesus Christ was made a priest, a high priest, not after the order of Aaron or the order of Levi. He was not made according to the old covenant, but He was made according to a new and better covenant. And He was made a high priest
after the order of Melchizedek, not after the law of a carnal commandment, this is Hebrews 7, verse 16, but after the power of an endless life. Man, the power, when he rose from the dead, he said, I have all power in heaven and earth. The power of an endless life. And as many as received him, all that power that he has, when you receive him, he gives you the power. The power for what? The power to become the sons of God. The sons of God. No longer just the sons of Adam. No longer just the sons of the flesh. Jesus is going to talk about how that which is born of the flesh is flesh in John chapter 3 when he's speaking to Nicodemus. But that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. See, power to become sons of God. And in Galatians chapter 4, he talks about, Paul's talking about when they were children, they were in bondage under the elements of the world. See, they were in bondage. They were servants. They lacked power. But praise the Lord, when the fullness of time was come, God sent forth his son, made of a woman, made under the law to redeem them that were under the law, that we might receive the adoption of sons. And because ye are sons, God hath sent forth the Spirit of his son into your hearts, crying, Abba, Father, wherefore thou art no more a servant, but a son, and of a son, than an heir of God through Christ. That's a mouthful, but I'm going to tell you what. The power to become the sons of God, this is something that this world has never known before Jesus Christ. This is a power like never manifested. And he says, if you'll receive him, he'll give you the power to become the sons of God. This is something that John really meditated on and thought deeply into. This idea of becoming the sons of God. And in 1 John chapter 3, he just marvels at it. In verse 1, he says, behold, what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us, that we should be called the sons of God. And then in verse 2, he says, beloved, now are we the sons of God, and it doth not yet appear what we shall be, but we know that when he shall appear, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. Sometimes I think we've lost the treasure, and we've lost the marvel, and we've lost the amazement, and we've lost the value of what it really is to become a son of God. This isn't about just praying a prayer so we don't have to go to hell. This is about those of us who were without strength and were without hope, and we had nothing, and there was nothing we could ever do. And that Christ left heaven to come down to this earth. And Christ brought the power that we never, ever could have had to become the sons of the living God. That we could actually say Father the same way Christ as a man said Father. It's amazing. He gave them power to become the sons of God. This power is gained through receiving him. And then some people might say, well, but Jesus isn't on the earth anymore. I can't receive him. No, you can receive him. This is something we do by faith. This is something we do by hearing his word. And it says, even to them that believe on his name. And John is going to really lift up the power of this name and faith in his name. Believing on his name. What name is this? This is Jesus. This is Jesus Christ. This is Jesus Christ, the Son of God. This is the Lord Jesus Christ, the Son of God. That is the name of faith unto salvation in the New Testament. John wraps up his book at the end of chapter 20 and says, I wrote this thing so that you might believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, and that believing you might have life through his name. In 1 John, John talks about confessing that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh, confessing that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, and those who deny that are Antichrist. And Paul, throughout all his writings and his preaching, preached salvation by believing on the Lord Jesus Christ. Acts chapter 16, verse 31. Acts chapter 20, verse 21, he said, repentance toward God and faith toward our Lord Jesus Christ. And in Romans chapter 10, he said that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and shalt believe in thine heart, God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. And in 1 Corinthians 12, he said, no man can say that Jesus is Lord but by the Holy Ghost. And in Philippians 2, he said that at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow, of things in heaven and things on earth and things under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. This believing on his name is when we come to realize who he really is. Who he really is. He's the God-man, the one that was from the beginning. The one that is from everlasting to everlasting. He's the one that was promised that the Father would hand him the power over all nations and the entire earth, and he would rule them with a rod of iron. The one who was the anointed one of the Father, who would be the very Son of God himself. He declared the decree, thou art my Son, this day have I begotten thee. The one who would be made a priest after the order of Melchizedek and would dash his enemies in pieces. But the one who would come meek and lowly and would bring salvation to the meek. The one who would be willing to lay down his life and would allow himself to be bruised for our iniquities and wounded for our transgressions. The one who would take the chastisement of our peace upon him. The one who would give his cheeks to the smiters and give his back to the people who would plow on his back, the furrows. And the one who would lay himself down and be lifted up like the serpent in the wilderness. And the one who would pour out his soul into death. But the one who would prolong his days. The one who would take his life back. The one who would open a fountain for cleansing to both the nation of Israel and to all the nations. The one who was prophesied and promised, the seed of Abraham, that in him all nations would be blessed, who would bring this salvation not just to Israel, but to the whole earth, the whole world. The one who would return as judge of righteousness. This is the Christ, the Son of the living God. This is the Lord Jesus Christ. And those who believe on his name, those who receive him, those are the ones he gives the power to become the sons of God. Amen. And in verse 13, he said, these were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. See, he gets to the fact that this salvation work, this is something that comes through receiving him. Not receiving part of him, but receiving him. Believing not on a personal savior, but believing on him, the Lord, the Christ, the Son of God, Jesus. And that this results in a new birth, that you're actually born again. You become a son of God. This is a new birth. It's something God does that's special. And he says this is something that's not of blood. This is not of your lineage. This is not of your descent. This is not of your heritage or your family line. No. In Genesis, you can read of the generations of Adam. But the generations of Adam are not sufficient. You can read about the generations of Abraham and the generations of Isaac and Ishmael and the generations of Esau and Jacob. And you can read about the generations, but it's not by those generations. Romans chapter 5 makes it very clear that through Adam, death, sin comes into the world. And in 1 Corinthians 15, Paul says that in Adam, all die. Now, the generations of Adam will not suffice. The generations of your parents and of your nation and whatever it is, no, it's not of blood. Because flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God, Paul wrote in 1 Corinthians chapter 15. No, we need a new generation, a better generation that you read about in Matthew chapter 1. It's the generation of Jesus Christ, the Son of God. Amen. We had to be put in him. It's his blood. This is not earthly blood. By the way, his blood was not man's blood. I know he was a man, but Acts chapter 20 and verse 28, you read it carefully. That blood is the blood of God himself
that he used to purchase his church. And it's not of the will of the flesh. It's not of the will of the flesh. Your self-will and your determination and your drive that you have within yourself, it can't make yourself God's child. You can't do it. It's not just of repentance. Now, repentance is a key step. God requires repentance before he'll bring you to faith. But if there was no Jesus Christ who came and did what he did in terms of his birth and his ministry and his life and his death and his burial and his resurrection and his ascension and his gifting of the Holy Ghost, if he didn't do that and his promise to return back, because he's going to actually come and actually save our bodies and save us from this world, if it wasn't for him, you could repent day and night for your entire life. It can't do it. You could want to turn over a leaf and be a better you and stop doing this and start doing that. But this new birth is not of the flesh. It's nothing you can accomplish of yourself. This is something that's of God. See, this is all we're commanded to do is just respond to God's work and to God's word. And we're to respond to God's leading and his call. This isn't something we make happen in our own power, because we're without strength by ourselves before Christ. After Christ, we're not without strength anymore. We've received the grace of God. That is his strength. We've received this power to become sons of God. But before Christ, we're without strength. See, this new birth is not of blood. It's not of the will of the flesh. And it's not of the will of man. That's mankind as a whole. Mankind's collective agendas. Tower of Babel is a perfect example. Man says, we're going to build a name. We're going to build a city and a tower whose top may reach unto heaven. We're going to build our way right up into heaven. And nobody can stop us. And mankind came together as one, with one language, with one purpose, with one mission, and one mind, and one heart, and one spirit. And let me tell you, the will of man is powerful. God even said, there's nothing that will be restrained from them that they've imagined to do. That's the kind of power God gave to mankind. God gave man great power, creative power, inventive power, power to make things happen. He put us in dominion of this earth. But this thing of becoming a son of God, this is something that can't be done by the will of man. Man could come together and do everything he can do philosophically, religiously, scientifically. Man, you just put it all together. He could do everything within his power, medically, metaphysically. But guess what? This can't be done by the will of man. It's not of the will of man. This new birth cannot be done by the will of man. Because guess what? As powerful as God made man in and of himself, his power doesn't compare to the power of God. And when man's will opposes God's will, and man says, I will do what God said you won't do, let me tell you, God wins. Go back to the Tower of Babel and look at it. God won. When man tries to divide what God united, God wins. The church of Jesus Christ will prevail. It will not be divided. It might appear to be divided, but Jesus said, don't judge according to appearance. Judge righteous judgment. The church of Jesus Christ, the gates of hell will not prevail against it. He united it. It won't be divided. When God divides something and man says, I'm going to unite it, he can't do it. He can try, but he won't prevail. And if man says in his pride and stoutness of his heart says, I will make my religious system and I will make my sacraments and I will make my rituals and I will make my ordinances and I will make this, and I will please God and I will become his son. And they might not do it with that kind of outward defiance. Sometimes it'll be in a false humility. It'll be clothed in this false humility. Oh Lord. But inwardly, there's a defiance to God's will. You can't do it. This thing's not of the will of man. This new birth, this power to become God's son, this is something that's only of God. Amen? Praise the Lord. Because if God does it, you can't stop it. You can't overcome it. Remember what Gamaliel said? He said, be careful.
lest ye be found to fight against God. Be careful.
But as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name, which are born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. That's John chapter 1, verses 12 and 13. Amen.